الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، in our تربية series, today I want to remind myself and you about the importance of friends and the importance of having the right kind of friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned two kinds of friends in the Quran. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the person on the Day of Judgment will name his friend, will actually name his friend, and will say, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhiz fulanan khalila. And fulanan is the name of this person. Jaisa Urdu mein bolte hain, fulan admi, so and so. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhiz fulanan khalila. And the ayat before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the person will bite his hand in regret. In the Quran, the beautiful description of the Quran, which describes the actual physical action, when somebody, you lose something and you know that this something, I should have got it. You know, it's not as if I could never have got it. But this, oh my God, how did I do it? You bite your hand, how did it happen? You know, that's instinctive body language. Instinctive action of somebody. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he will bite his hand until his elbow with regret, because he will see that on the Day of Judgment, what did I do to myself? And the regret is not only because of the impact of it, but because this need not have happened. The regret is that there was no need. Why did I do this? With this regret, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhiz fulanan khalil. So one kind of friend. The other kind of friend that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned is in Surah Al-Zukhruf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know about the Day of Judgment, where a person will run from everyone. His own wife, her husband, the father, the mother, the children. Nobody will stand for anyone. They will all run from one another. But in that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned friends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqin. Allah said, and see the issue of understanding Arabic. In the Arabic language, there are many words for friend. For the word friend, many words. Zamil is also friend. Khalil is also friend, right? Zumala is the plural of Zamil, and Khalil is also friend, and so on. There are other words as well. But Khalil is a friend which is a very, very close and dear friend. Wali is also friend. Khalil is a very close and dear friend. Someone who is the closest, who has, you know, the your confidant, and someone whose advice you take always, and so on. And that's the person who's called Khalil. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that word in this ayah. Al-akhilla, akhilla is the plural of Khalil. Al-akhilla'u yawma'idhim ba'duhum li ba'dun adu. They will not only run away, but they will be the enemies of one another. Adu. Al-akhilla, who? Those people who were the closest friends. Yawma idhin, on this particular day, ba'duhum li ba'din adu. They will be enemies of each other. Illa al-muttaqeen. Except the muttaqeen. Illa al-muttaqeen. Now, two kinds of friends. One is a friend who you will curse. Say, why did I have this person? My God, what did he do to me? And with regret, there was no need. Why did I fall into this trap? Why did I sit with these people? Why was I part of their group? The regret of the Day of Judgment is the worst, absolutely the worst of the punishments is regret, because that regret will be so terrible, so amazingly bad, that it's worse than the actual physical punishment. And as I said, that regret is because this need not have happened. It's not that something was, you know, foisted on me or inflicted, nothing. Hey, I did it myself. Why did I do it? And on the other hand, other kinds of friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the closest of friends will become enemies to one another. Enemies to one another. Adu. They will become enemies to one another. They won't just ignore. They will actually become enemies to one another except illa al-muttaqeen. Except the muttaqeen. And the muttaqeen will still be friends on the day of judgment. The muttaqeen will still be with their friends and they will still help one another and they will still be together on the day of judgment. And this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this. Illa al-muttaqeen. And that is why we need to choose. We need to choose. Our relatives are given to us. You happen to be born in a family, you know, so-and-so is my brother, so-and-so. But friends, we pick up on our own. We make these choices. And I remind myself and you, let us make active choices. Let us consciously make choices. Not just fall into a trap. You know, the whole issue of hanging out, I always say, you know, laundry hangs out. Not people. You hang out laundry on the light to dry. Not people. What hanging out? Time is an asset. It's a disappearing asset. It's an asset that cannot be created. It's an asset which cannot be replaced. And you know, we have this saying, time is money. Time is not money. If time was money, you wouldn't waste it. You know, you don't waste 10 bucks. You don't waste 1 rupee. If 1 rupee falls on the ground, you regret it. But what about the 1 hour or the, I won't even say 1 minute because I don't think we're even conscious of that. But, you know, even for an hour. What happened to the last hour? Where did it go? What did I do? What if you had died in that 1 hour? What if you died at the end of that 60th second? Then the last 1 hour was very important. It was very, very important, right? That 1 hour, supposing Malakul Maut comes and this is not going to happen to anybody. But I'm saying if Malakul Maut comes and says, look, you got 60 minutes. I'm going to come back now. It's 6:05. I'm going to come back at 7:05. What will you do? What will anyone with iman do? He will spend that entire 1 hour in a state of sajda. He won't even get up. He'll tell Malakul Maut, take me in this state. I'm not going to lift my head from here. No, he'll make tawbah, he'll clean up his record, everything. That is the actual value. The value of that time is when you don't have it. What is the value of that time at that moment you die? And that's the reason why I've said this many times before that. My criterion which I try to use, may Allah forgive me when I make mistakes. My criterion that I try to use is that, what if I die now? What if I die now? Anytime you want to go anywhere, you want to be somewhere, you want to be with somebody, you want to see something, you want to do something. Before you do that, before you commit to that action, ask yourself, what if I die now? You want to go somewhere, you say, what if I die in that place? Seriously ask this question. You don't need anything else in your life. You do not need anything else in your life. When we don't ask this question, it means that, you know, this whole iman business we talk about is bunkum, because we don't really believe that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you will, first of all, we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that you can die at any time. لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. It cannot be brought forward, it cannot be delayed. When the time comes, it comes. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, you will be resurrected in that state. First question to ask is, do you really believe this? Do you really believe Allah? Or do you really believe the Prophet ﷺ? Or you think they were joking, huh? Nabi ﷺ simply said this. Chalte pe bol diye khali waisi. Aisa hota kya? Hamare Hyderabad mein bolte hain. So, seriously ask this question. Do I really believe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do I really believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If the answer is yes, then ask yourself this question, that this is, given these two things, I am now going to such and such a place. What if I die in that place? Then what happens? I always remind myself, never challenge Allah. Never challenge Allah, because after knowing all of this, if you still go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to kill you there. Do not think that this won't happen. Allah has the power to extract, to send Malakul Maut to you when you are in that particular place. Don't think it can't happen. Do not think it cannot happen. Then maybe you are sitting and watching pornography and you drop dead. And when somebody comes and sees, what do they also see? If Allah wants to remove his cover, can happen, no? I'm not saying you are watching pornography, I know you don't do it. I'm just saying there are people in the world who are doing it. And this thing goes all over the world, so I'm speaking to more than the people in this masjid. You're sitting with your group of cronies and friends and, you know, everyone is having a good time and everyone is having a drink and whatnot. And you say, well, I'm not drinking, but you're not supposed to be there anyway. You are in this club or that club. Sorry to touch all the raw nerves, but what do I do? These are realities. What guarantee do you have that you will not die in that club? What guarantee do you have that you will not die in a party in that club? No matter that you were not on the dance floor, no matter that you were not in the bar, but you were there in that group. We must choose our friends consciously. Most parents are very concerned about their children. Mera bachcha kharab ho ja raha. Are bachcha kharab ho raha, aap kharab ho gaye, so uski fikar nahi hai, bachche ki fikar hai. Bachcha kahi ko kharab ho raha, aap kharab ho, jata kharab ho raha. Aapko dekh ke ho raha. Exactly. What else? If the parents are good and the children never see their parents doing anything haram, the children see their parents, you know, following the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will do the same thing. There is no two ways about this. They will do the same thing. And that's why I always tell people, whenever somebody comes and tells me, you know, my children, the society is so bad, I say, boss, don't worry about society. Look at inside your house. That society in any case is not in your control. I can't control what's happening on the street in Hyderabad. I can control what's happening inside my house. So let us look at what is inside my house. Give your children a framework on which to compare what they see outside. You can't lock your child in the house. The child has to go out. He goes to school, he goes wherever. But when he comes home, let him see a perceptible difference. Create that framework where the children have a benchmark. Let them bring their so-called lousiest friends home. Tell them, most welcome, please bring your friends home. Let the child understand that a friend who he is afraid to bring home is not a friend worth having. Otherwise, why are you afraid to bring your friend home? Because your friend is freaked out. I mean, to bring the friend looks very cool in that environment. But when you say, come, your father says or mother says, bring your friends home, you tell this boy, this guy, no, please, I think, don't come. Or you don't tell him that there is a... Why? Because you don't want to show your friend to your parents. Now, that itself is an indicator to the child. Believe me, these messages are very clear. Children understand them very well. You don't have to say it. Just say, please get all your friends home. And the friends that he doesn't bring are also the friends that he will then start looking at them differently and inshallah, change. Because you have given them a solid foundation, you've given them a solid, that's all you can do. You cannot change society, you can change inside your house. And obviously, if everyone changes inside the house, society changes. But we can change inside our own house, and let's think about that and say, what environment am I giving my children? Whoever comes to me, what is the environment that they are getting? Right? Very important. In our homes, the name of Allah and the name of Rasulullah is a stranger. The kalam of the sound of the Quran, nobody hears. Many times I've asked people here, how many wives are there who have never heard the recitation of their own husband? How many husbands are there who have never heard the recitation of their own wives? How many children are there who have never heard their mother or father reciting Quran? How many parents are there who have never heard their own children reciting Quran? This is nothing unique or nothing strange. This is the majority of the Muslims today are like this. Never heard their own father recite Quran. I mean, you can be listening to even the people who listen to, you know, qirat of this qari, that qari. Well, that's okay. But I mean, your own father can you remember his voice? Can you recall his voice? Maybe he recited right or wrong. I'm not even talking about that. Maybe his tajweed was you know, wonky. Forget about that. Did you hear his voice reciting Quran? Our environment is that. The environment in the house is the biggest problem. And that's why I'm saying, choose friends consciously. Choose friends wisely. And which also means that if you have landed in a situation where you have these friends now from wherever, delete. Delete. Do not retain those friendships. What is the best way to do that? Invite them towards Allah. Best way, invite them towards Allah. If the friend calls you and says, man, look, I'm having this New Year's Eve party, you know, come home. You say, no, I have another New Year's Eve, you come to my house. So he will come, he thinks you're usual stuff. When he comes and sits there, you know, let him talk to him about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so on. One of two things will happen. Either he will convert and he will become a good friend, or he will say, you've gone crazy. Salaam alaikum, I'm gone. Alhamdulillah, both situations, you are a winner. You know, you lost some baggage, or otherwise, you got a good friend. Inshallah, who will be with you on the day of judgment. Now, think about this. We should acquire friends who are in that classification where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, illa al-muttaqeen. What is the condition of a good friend? Muttaqeen. That he should be a muttaqi. Or she should be a muttaqi. Must have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Must fear to displease Allah because he loves Allah. That is the definition of taqwa. It's not fear of Allah. It's the fear to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he loves Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The mu'minin are people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. So what is taqwa? Taqwa is to fear to displease the one that I love more than anybody else. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he described the conditions of a good friend. He said, who is a good friend? He said, a good friend is the one who reminds you of Allah. And in whose company you remember the Akhirah. And who you learn something good from. Three conditions. Number one, a good friend is the one who reminds you of Allah. And the second condition is that, in his company you remember the Akhirah. And the third condition is that you learn something good from this person. Whatever it might be. Not necessarily religion. Whatever good thing. Something good you learn from this person. These are the three conditions of a good friend. And therefore I remind myself and you, and I want to close with that. Take these two ayat of the Quran from Suratul Furqan, which is ayah number 28, and from Suratul Zukhruf, and I think that is 67 or 68. And take your friends list and compare who is where. And then delete. And very, very important. Final point. When you finish with all that list, look at yourself and say, where do I fit in with regard to my friends? If my friend is looking at my name on his list or her list, where will my friend place me? In the ayah where they will regret that they ever knew me, or in the ayah where they see me as somebody that they should be friends with. Let's not get into judging others only. That's not the idea. The idea is, let's also look at ourselves and say, where do I fit in on this criterion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of who is a good friend? A good friend is the one who you want to be with on the day of judgment, who will not become your enemy on the day of judgment, and who you will not regret that you ever knew this person on the day of judgment. And that's why, as I said, my criterion of a good friend is somebody who I want to lead my Salatul Janazah. That's my other condition. I always say, is there somebody, if I say, is this a person worth having as a friend, is this a person worth spending time with? Thing I ask myself is, will I want this person to lead my Salatul Janazah? Alhamdulillah, I am very happy. I've got lots of them. Alhamdulillah, with multiple choice. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. But very, very important. And that is why I am saying, you know, please, sometimes we feel that if I apply all these criteria, I will have no friends. Not true. Not true. You will have friends. You will have so many friends, you won't believe. And they will all be the right kind of friends. It's not that you will become unpopular, nobody. No. Don't. No matter what you choose, you will always have friends. Whether you choose, if you choose shaitaniyat, you will have friends. If you choose rahmaniyat, you will also have friends. Just the question is the kind of friend will change, that's all. You will have friends no matter where you go. So it's just a question of picking the right kind of people. You will have enough and more friends, nothing to worry about. But the key thing is this. Is that friend somebody who is an asset or is it a liability? And am I an asset to my friends or am I a liability? Let's ask this question to ourselves. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.